Hey everyone, welcome to the Home Team Podcast. Steve Carter here, and I am fired up because I'm with my good friends, Sam Acho, Trey Burton, and you all know that we have been in a little Home Team NCAA tourney battle challenge, if you will. We had almost 100 people sign up. It was for a good cause, to go to Food for the Hungry. I hate to admit it, but Trey Burton is sitting solely in second place with both of his brackets. Trey, let me just figure this out. How did you do it? How'd you do it?
You know,
Who you want to thank first? You want to thank God first?
No, I want to thank Sam Acho first, and I want to thank Steve Carter second, just for the competitive battle that we've had going on behind the scenes in our text thread, even before we started recording this. Just it's been nonstop, and I'm just really honored and proud, you know, to be in a group like this.
Did you give a speech at the ESPYs? Did you give a speech for the throw that you did? Did you give a speech
to be able to be leading with both of my brackets? I'm really impressed, you know, with myself and my picks, and I'm really happy about what my teams have been able to do.
I hope win an Oscar. I hope you never have to give. I hope you win an Oscar, but never have to give a speech at the Oscars.
What a great tournament, by the way.
What a great tournament.
Okay. So much fun.
So we got Trey Burton, both his picks at number two, and then if you scroll 9 times with your thumb all the way down,
and mine doesn't go that far.
You get down to 75th. You've got Sam. Sam, how you feeling? I mean, you typically, I would say 2020 was the year of the Acho. I mean, you release a book. I mean, things that you were doing. I mean, I turn on my Twitter and like you're being interviewed by all these random people. But it seems like 2021 came and reality has struck, man. How do you feel? You're not used to this, are you?
Well, I'm excited. So we talked about this earlier. Trey is a front runner. I've been knowing Trey for some years. Trey's a front runner, which is fine. Anyone who knows sports, right? Front runners are the teams that, like, they come out and they're like, yeah, yeah, like with their shirts off in the pregame, right? Like in the freezing cold. Yeah, look at us. We're so great. And then all of a sudden, like first quarter, they look great, right? They're up 21-0. And all of a sudden the second quarter comes, they get hit in the mouth. And all of a sudden the team that's the underdog starts getting momentum. And all of a sudden that front runner, they look up and the scoreboard does not show in their favor. So that's a little bit of, you know, just giving an example, painting a picture, but just statistically, I just want to talk quickly about statistics, if we don't mind.
Please. So enlighten us.
So Trey, it's raining Trays, is currently statistically second, which is phenomenal, right? I think it's really, really great. He has two brackets, right? He has one and another one. He's second currently. But if anyone else is listening to this podcast and is in this bracket, I want you to go over where it says possible points, right? There's current points, then there's possible points. Right now, Trey's real account, like before number two, like the one that says it's raining Trey's, he has 41 total points, second place. Possible points, only 85. You know, I want to know how many possible points that I have currently, possibly 86. So technically, statistically, retributively and justly, I am ahead of Trey. Now, I will say this. He has another account. Trey Burton has another account. It's called It's Raining Trey's number two, right? Which he now says it's the one that he's using, right? It's the real one. The only slight bone I have to pick, and I'm not being a hater, the little bone I have to pick, Trey, is that in your It's Raining Trey's two account, I did some research. You literally just pretty much pick the number one team for every single one. I mean, it's embarrassing.
What's everything, every single one?
I mean, like, you just pick like the number one team or the number two team. Like, there was no risks taken, right?
Yeah, West Virginia in that rating trades number two. They're already knocked out. Yeah, that's your only loss.
That's fair. And they were the third ranked team, right? So he picked a number three. And so only issue is, like, go to his final. It's Gonzaga, Michigan.
I had Iona in the Elite Eight. Iona. Do you see that in the East bracket?
That's the one risk. You took one risk.
I have Tennessee and West Virginia in this Midwest Elite Eight. I mean, call risk what you want. At the end of the day, you go below your bracket on the standings, and there's only three people below you. That's
currently,
That's all that really matters.
But if you go to what's actually possible, because I like to look at what's possible. Go to what's possible. Scroll down about, you know, Steve made this great comment at the beginning before we recorded. He said, hey, it's been so many upsets, it's been crazy. He said, the real, like, you know, you're really wise if you're in the middle, right? Because so many teams have been upset, right? Like, Steve, you'd agree with that. And so if you go to total possible points and you say, I'm in the middle. And so I think there's a lot of wisdom in my pick. Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, what's amazing is I think, Sam, you you needed to have a second bracket.
He did. We let you, you have
know
it.
What I mean?
We should let him have it.
You know, I think, you know, what is impressive to me about Trey is that he had one with Florida going all the way and he's still in second place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little infuriating. It's weird. It is weird.
I am confused, though. This is like a true confusion, not even confusion, but a true, like, what does it matter what place he's in right now? Like, when the possible points, he's not going to win. No, at least it's raining. At least their initial account.
You're right. You are totally serious, right.
Not even joking. Trey's looking at me like I'm trying to clown on him. I'm not clowning right now.
No. I mean, I have two brackets that are tied for second place. I'm really happy with where I'm at right now, and I'm really excited to see the finish right now. I mean, like you said, it doesn't really matter right now. But what we're talking about is right now, like today, right now at an Eastern time, 9:19 on March 24th. So that's all we can really talk about. We can't talk about what's going to happen in the future because we don't really know. But I know right now I'm number two.
Look at you, just trying to own the moment.
Both my brackets. I'm satisfied, bro. I mean, you call me what you want. I really don't care. Okay, really satisfied.
So the Lakers. So Lakers just lost LeBron. LeBron is injured, high ankle sprain. They've lost three in a row. Right now, they're ranked number one or number two, right? They're not going to win without LeBron. Bro, you don't have LeBron on your team. Put it that way. So, like, good luck with the whole right now, and I'm really excited for you.
I have Gonzaga.
Unless LeBron,
I have Gonzaga. I have Gonzaga.
Here's the great thing about my bracket. I took risks. So I look at your final and you have Gonzaga winning it all. I don't. I have Texas, and that's fair. They lost. They tricked it off.
Who did they lose to? Another really Texas recall. Team.
I
Abilene
recall.
Christian.
Was that in the first round or was that pre bracket?
Abilene Christian.
Okay, can I just take a quick moment? Because both of you your team were upset. You lost. My men's team, my women's team, both in the Sweet 16, University of Michigan. Yeah, both. Okay, so real quick, how does it feel? I mean, you guys are both competitors. I know you're doing a bracket. How does it feel, though? Because there's a lot of trash talk going back and forth, and then all of a sudden when your team loses, I feel like there goes minutes and more minutes where I feel like you all ghost me, like you're not there. So, like, I'm just wondering, when the buzzer hits and your team loses, even though you got a second bracket, even though you got a burner account bracket, like, can you let me in? How'd you feel, Sam? What'd you do? I mean, is there like a, you're in Dallas? Did you go back and find like that one room in your parents' house and just like, just cry? Like, did you go for a long walk? Did you have to go hit the weights? Did you go eat some just tubs of ice cream just to like nurse the pain? Like, what do you guys do as competitors when your team loses and your bracket is absolutely busted?
I'll say this. I started a women's bracket as well.
Oh, man.
I did. And as you know, I have Texas in my women's bracket and they're obviously still playing. So I have no issues with our program. When Texas lost, I was disappointed. I was sad. I was frustrated. All the things that you feel, just because for me, all hope was gone, right? Literally, I was banking on Texas winning it all. And that was going to be the only chance I had of winning the bracket. They lost. I stopped watching. I'm like, I would check my bracket like four or five times a day just to see where I was at. I stopped checking. I think I've checked once in the last like 3 days because it's just depressing in a lot of ways. Now, I did get excited when I saw that I was ahead of Trey. That made me super happy because, like, oh, nice. Like, still, you know, like, Trey has no idea what's coming. So I was a little bit sad, dejected, disappointed. But, you know what I mean? Like, there's more to life than just an NCAA men's tournament, right? I got a beautiful wife, three kids. I think I'm set. So, Trey, you can gloat for your 30 seconds, right? But as soon as Gonzaga loses,
when is that going to be? When's that going to happen?
I don't know. I have Creighton beating Gonzaga.
Oh, you do?
That's I do. Bad. That's my
you
chance.
Definitely, you definitely have no shot then.
That's my opportunity. For sure.
I was really disappointed. I'm not going to lie. I think at halftime, I was nervous, and I asked my wife to make some brownies. And so she did, and she knew, like, what time it was. The Gators were playing. I'm locked in. So she wasn't really, like, bothering me. The kids were already in bed.
Were you screaming at the TV? Like, were you throwing brownies at the TV?
No, I wasn't going that far. I was actually in, like, complete shock because, like, we were winning the whole entire game except for, like, the first minute or two of the game. And then we had the lead literally the whole entire game until the last 40 seconds of the game. And so it wasn't like Texas where they got blown out by Abilene Christian. It was actually, like, a really competitive game.
Didn't Texas lose by one to Abilene Christian?
And I thought that we were actually going to win the game. And we were up by, like, four or five, at, like, with a minute left. And I was like, man, we're good. We got it. And then was really, really sad after that. So didn't really talk much. I think I just went straight to my room and laid my head on the pillow and went to sleep.
Yeah.
And woke up the next day and had to tell my kids that Florida lost. So it wasn't good.
We didn't really hear from you. Like, it's, like, really the first time we really talked in, like, a week and some change. I mean, like,
I was disappointed.
How are you? Like, are you seriously?
It just means a lot more to me. My teams do, you know what I'm saying? Than you guys. You guys wouldn't understand.
it didn't mean more.
Oh man, that was great. You should have seen your guys' faces. That was totally worth it right there.
All right, let's talk about this, right? Because Trey, your bracket, we get to talk about brackets. Brackets are great. Can we quickly talk about the NCAA? Not only the women's tournament, which I think Texas is going to win, and that's, you know, or you know, maybe Texas, Michigan. We'll see. Florida's, we'll just leave that out of there for now. But let's talk about the disparities. I'm sure y'all saw some of the TikToks or even the videos between the NCAA men's weight room for March Madness and the women's weight room. And if you haven't seen it, it's on all of our social medias. I'm sure we'll post something about it. Like, that was embarrassing. They had this, like, unbelievable just setup for the men and, like, weights and things and all this stuff. And then for the women, it was, like, literally like what you would see in, like a gym that's about to go out of business, like one little, like, rack of weights that probably go up to like 40 pounds, maybe 30. And then the NCAA said, well, you know, we didn't have a lot of space. And then the student athletes were like, nah, there's space everywhere. What'd y'all think about that? And, like, honestly, like, cause I think there are some different ways to kind of see it. But what'd y'all think about that?
I mean, my first thought was, like, how much, like, looking at the men's stuff, like, who's really using all that? Like, this is not off season. Like, are they really training, like, hardcore like that? Cause I know, like, during our seasons, I mean, we lift, but, like, it's not like a off season training lift, you know, max effort type stuff. So I was, like, I was kind of confused about, like, how much. Now I kind of want to know, like, I'm interested in what does it look like for a basketball player to train in season? You know, what do they actually do from a lift standpoint? And those types of, that was my first reaction from, like, looking at the men's. Obviously I'm happy that the women and, you know, proud of the women for speaking up and standing up for the inequality that they have been shown. And whoever stepped up, I think it was it Sornex or it was a gym company, a weight company that stepped up and, you know, donated and gave a bunch of, you know, gear and stuff for the women to use. But it was definitely interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think when Sedona Prince, like, made that video and dropped that, I was like, This can't be right. Like, this can't be right. And then I don't know if you saw on when ESPN posted it, Nick Young, the former Lakers guard, Swaggy P, like, he you know, I've heard that now he said his account got hacked, whatever. But someone, and I'm thinking it was him, said, man, y'all not bringing in the big bucks. Y'all the JV team, and it's cool. And I think that spoke to how people view the women's tournament, that it's less than. And I mean, you watch KD yesterday on Twitter, and there's a freshman from Iowa. I mean, she went for 35, and he's like, she should be in the league. And she was hitting Steph Curry, Dame Dalla threes. I mean, she was killing. And so, like, I think what's amazing is, there has been this perception for so long that, oh, March Madness is just the guys' tournament. But, I mean, the women's tournament's fantastic. You know, we're actually in the ESPN like women's tournament challenge, and you know, and I love it because both Michigan and the men's and the women's are in the Sweet 16. You both can't say that, but I can. But I think because we're only talking about today, we're only talking about right now. We only have control of right now, according to Trey.
Technically. I'm happy for you, bro. I really am.
but I think it's an interesting piece of what is fair. Like, what's fair? Like, with all the money that comes in for the men, or even what's fair when, let's say, Alabama football brings in so much money, or Texas football, Florida football brings in so much money for the school. What's fair when it comes to Title IX? What's actually fair? And I think what we saw was how grossly unfair it is, and how the standards are different for male athletes. So I don't know. I think what would fair and responsible look like, and I'm grateful for Sidon for calling that out, and even the coaches right now, like the Georgia Tech women's basketball coach, she's been speaking up, and it's been really, really beautiful.
Yeah, it was cool for me to see Dawn Staley speak up as well, right? She talked about the Twitter account for March Madness, and it said, you know, March Madness, the official Twitter account of all things NCAA men's basketball. And it's like, okay, well, so there's no March Madness for women. There's not a Sweet 16. There's not, you know. And so, like, for me, seeing her call that out was phenomenal. Seeing Sedona just show us with our own eyes what was going on. But I wasn't surprised. Like, I wasn't surprised. I know, you know, Steve, you mentioned, like, is this real? And as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, this is definitely real. Because then, in a lot of ways, NCAA, like, they don't care about their student athletes. It's about how much money can we make. And maybe the business side, I get it, right? Maybe, like, so not even that I get it, but we talk about the men are bringing all this money, but these college athletes aren't getting paid. So all the money that they're making, the players aren't getting it. And people say in football, well, you're going to go to the NFL, you make all this money. In basketball, it's a lot less spots available. So I just look at, I just, when I think of it about it, I'm like, okay, first of all, that's not fair, number one. And number two, okay, let's say the men are bringing in the big bucks, quote unquote. The athletes aren't actually getting these big bucks. It's the coaches. It's the teams, the programs. And so I think what would be fair is, and then they're moving into it now, is finding a way to compensate the players for their play. And of course, like you mentioned, okay, well, how do you do it fairly? Alabama football may bring in more revenue than, you know, let's say a different team. But I still think there are ways to make it happen. It's not that complicated.
Yeah, have y'all seen the stuff on, I guess, the shirts? I was watching the I think it was a Gator game, and one of the guys, no, it was the big game last night, the Michigan game last night, LSU. Yeah. And the Michigan guy had the
Isaiah Livers,
not NCAA property on his shirt. I thought that was really interesting as well. It kind of hits on what you're talking about.
Yeah, there are three guys who kind of like led the way with that. Jordan Bohannon of Iowa, Geo Baker of Rutgers, and then Isaiah Livers, who's not even playing because of a stress fracture in his foot, for Michigan. And there's about 15 of them. And it's fascinating because they're literally trying to go after what you're talking about, Sam. And Isaiah, who's just a great, great kid, like, he's just saying, like, hey, this is for our, you know, future players and our future kids, like, not NCAA property. You know, just that it's just all black shirt, hashtag not NCAA property. I mean, you guys both were athletes, like, in the biggest money making sport of the school. Did you feel like property? Did you?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely. In college visits, Trey, you could talk about this story too, but like, I remember visiting USC at that time. They were Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart and all those guys, right? Visiting USC, going to a football camp as a junior. And the shirts that everyone wears at this football camp, it was their top 300 camp. So the 300 best players from the entire state of California were at this camp. And everyone gets a shirt that you have to wear. And it's got like a space for your name, and they'll write your name in the middle. But above that, it'll say property of USC. And it wasn't just that school, right? I went to a football camp at Oklahoma State. Property of Oklahoma State. And 16, 17, and even now, as I said, every time I would see that, something didn't feel right. I'm like, I'm not your property. And so I literally, like, it's like, oh, we got this great shirt. You'd come back, you'd want to wear it around. I never wanted to wear it around. Because I'm like, I'm not, first of all, I haven't even committed to your school. Yes, you may have offered me, but I haven't committed, number one. And number two, I'm not your property. But I think it just goes to show the way that the NCAA views its players, and even Texas specifically, right? Like, that's why I'm not even, like, when Texas loses, yes, I'm an alum and I am a huge Longhorn fan. But sometimes I look at what happens with the program at Texas and I'm like, oh, well, we don't deserve to win. Like, the way that we treat our athletes, not just here, and that's other programs, but that's a school that I went to. We don't deserve to win. I look at, like, the Eyes of Texas, right? That the fight song that, and yes, we can look at the history, which it comes from a racist history. We can look at all the other things, but specifically what I saw is I saw staff, university president, athletic director, all the powers that be choose the money over the players. And it was a choice, and they made it very binary. They chose the money over the players. When I say the money, I mean like the boosters and the big time donors over the players. And even at times over the coaches, some of the coaches as well, some of the assistant coaches. And so, like, when I see stuff like that happen, because I'm like, integrity has to mean something. Has to. It can't just be, okay, how much money can we make and how many people can we exploit? And so, like, when Texas men's basketball lost, and granted, like, I just think it points to a bigger issue of leadership at the school, not just Texas, other schools as well, but that's where I went. That's what I kind of can speak to. It's like, you can't just continually, or maybe you can. Maybe you can't just continually choose the money and donors and boosters over the players. Because a lot of the word, that the talk that came out from that Texas pro, the Texas, the Eyes of Texas song was that boosters, donors, right? Boosters are people who donate to the school and they support. They've been, boosters said to president, athletic director, hey, those players need to shut up. Lack of better terms, they need to shut up and dribble. They need to stand on that field and sing that song. Period. And what, and you could say, yes, there may be peace about race for sure, but it's also like this classism. It's like, hey, we are, they're here and they're gone. We're the ones who are paying your salary. We're the ones who are helping support the school. We matter more than them. And so as much as we love to say, man, the NCAA, we protect our student athletes and we honor them. No, from a guy who's lived it, and Trey's lived it as well, you could speak to maybe your own stories. The NCAA does not care about its student athletes. It doesn't. And so that's just, and it's as clear as day.
Yeah. I mean, I'll let you speak to the college stuff. I mean, I remember for me the one of the worst times, like, you want to feel like property, was at the combine. Cause it's very similar to what you're saying, Sam, where, like, you have the shirt, you have your name, you have a number, and you're kind of just, you know, I was like tight end number four because it was alphabetical order, you know? So Burton, last name, fourth tight end. And, like, bro, the way they poke and they prod and they grab and they, you know, watch, and everything you do is micromanage, and they're waking you up early for no reason, and you're going to sleep late for no reason. And this, some of the conversations and just the craziness of that, what happens in those two or three or four days, however long it was. That was like the biggest eye opener for me, was like, man, I'm just another guy, you know, just another player, another athlete here that, and like, man, you go get x-rays, you get MRIs. I mean, it's just, and they're grabbing, poking, you know, just looking at injuries, past injuries, you know, all this craziness. I'm like, man, I feel like a cattle right now. Like, I literally feel like a cow. Like, I feel like I'm, you know, at an auction and I'm a cow and they're trying to figure out what's wrong with me and, you know, how healthy am I actually? And that was probably the most eye-opening experience, you know, especially now looking back at it and thinking about just what happens during those times for me.
Trey, do you remember, we talk about some of these questions that we get asked during these combine interviews by oftentimes seemingly anonymous scouts, or it's not the head coach, but it's going to be a scout or an assistant coach. And there have been stories of questions that people have asked. But do you remember, I think one of, like, one quarterback, I don't remember who it was, they were asking, okay, was your mama, what did they say, like a stripper or a drug dealer or something? Yeah, yeah. But do you remember any questions? You don't have to be specific on the team, per se, but
I don't have anything off the top of my head, because so those are normally, just so people understand, so that you have the combine, you have one huge ballroom called the train station at the combine, and the train station is every NFL team has, you know, position coaches and scouts at the table, And then you also have separate of the train station are like teams will rent out these rooms to have private interviews. And so I had never had any of those private interviews. I think a lot of those crazy questions happen during those times. But yeah, I mean, they ask wild stuff. And at the train station, it's a little bit more open and a lot more people around, you know, so they don't ask those crazy types of questions there. But you hear those stories all the time about a lot of the questions. And I think it's kind of toned down a little bit now because people are starting to speak up on it, you know, and kind of calling their bluff on some of the stuff that they're asking. But yeah, dude, I mean, back when we were in the combine, wild stuff was asked for sure.
Yeah, no, I definitely remember, like you said, feeling like a piece of meat. Literally like a piece of meat.
Yeah.
And two things. One, to have me empathize with women. Because, and I'm learning this, right? Like, oftentimes, like a woman walking through wherever she's going, like it could be a bunch of dudes saying, hey, you know, hey, little mama, or hey, you know, whatever, just eyeing her down. It's like, dude, like, I'm a human. I'm not a piece of meat. So I empathize there. And then I also started thinking about, like, slavery as well, if I'm just going to be honest. I don't know if I can be honest here, but, like, because, like, when the slave trade was happening, they'd put slaves on an auction block. And they would look through their, you know, physically, and you'd be pretty much naked as well, right? Like, and with us, you were all you had was essentially a girdle, like these tights, short,
compression shorts. Yeah,
and nothing else. Walking through, and then in the audience, you see coaches and staff and scouts from all the teams looking. You'll get on the scale, you know, they'll say, you know, Acho number one, right? Same thing, alphabetical order. Defensive end, Texas. They'll weigh you in. 258 pounds, right? And you'll see people writing down, looking at them right now. They'll say, okay, 6017 or 6023, right? Height. They'll measure your hands. 904, whatever, hands. And people are just looking and writing down. And literally, it's like, is this a slave auction? Like, that's literally what it felt like. No joke. And people, you know, not often. It's hard to say that outside of these circles because people will not believe you. They're like, come on, man, you're going to the NFL. It's the combine. We watch it on TV. It's this great, fun, and amazing and beautiful thing. But for a lot of players, and it's similar with the Eyes of Texas with the fight song, right? Like when I was there, and y'all, the Gator Bait thing is there too, right? I remember going to well, I'll get to that in a second. But with the fight song, right, I remember hearing the song and being like, something's fishy about this. Something seems a little bit off. And then you start like adding things up. You're like, oh. And then you go to the combine. It's like, man, something feels off. And so it's like, even with the whole, like the institutions that are created, something feels off. And some people could speak to it. It's like, oh yeah, dude, it's just, they're using you, period. It's you know, I wouldn't even necessarily call it capitalism, but like, they're just literally using you. That's one piece. And even with the Gator Bait song, right? Like Florida, had the song, the Gator Band, you could speak to it, Trey, too, but because I don't even know all the details. I just know they took the song away, but I do know that I went to this kind of museum with this guy named Alan Page. Alan Page, he's a NFL MVP in the Hall of Fame. He is the first Black Supreme Court justice for the state of Minnesota, and he also happens to be like a 12, 15-year NFL veteran, like phenomenal dude, 70-something years old. And a couple years ago, he had this exhibit around race and justice. And he had collected all these artifacts that just exhibited the times of slavery. And one of the artifacts that he had was this picture of, it's in this kind of museum for people to see, of 8 Black babies. And at the very bottom, it said alligator bait. And for me, I was like, okay, that's disgusting. Number one, I didn't even put 2 and 2 together with the Florida fight song. But for me, I was like, oh, man, if you just do your research on anything, you'll know that so much of what we see in not only in sports, but in the world is just jacked up.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what the song or the chant originally came from, then obviously there's no place for it. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. I don't know too much about it. I know like for me personally, whenever I was there, they still sang the song. And like, we thought it was more towards like the opposing team. We're playing LSU, you know? So you're going to say Gator Bait LSU, but if that's where it originated from, then yeah. I mean, I think there's no question that it has no place in college or anywhere in this world. So, and I think maybe it probably might have had that, that's where it came from, because they were like, it's out, no more. You know what I mean? And I don't know if they're going to go into detail or have like a, they did some research on the Eyes of Tiger recently, and they had, you know, an independent organization, you know, look into it. I don't know if they have gone that far with it, but I think, I mean, the only reason why it's not being played, you know, in my opinion, is because it might've had some history, you know, with that. So obviously there's no place for it.
It's fascinating because, you know, we've watched this with the Washington football team, you know, and I just heard the general manager come out and say, hey, we might stay with that name because where else are you going to choose? You know what I mean? Like there's for them, they're almost getting to this point right now where, okay, I guess we're going to go to just keeping it as simple as possible. Because when it's been in so connected to a history of some racist term, like its former name, they're just like, we're not going to try and cover it. It's just going to be the Washington football team. I think it's interesting because we don't ever want to think that that's happening. We don't want to think that when this song Gator Bait or the Eyes of Texas, or, you know, we don't want to think about this because, you know, it's, you grow up going to a football game, you go up rooting for your team, you grow up. Yeah. You know, that's about LSU, you know, that's about Georgia, like that's it. And then all of a sudden, just as you guys are talking, there's a moment where you're getting poked, you're getting prodded, and you're like, this doesn't feel right. Like what, but you're in this moment and your mind's probably going, okay, I'm doing this because my agent's telling me to do this. I'm doing this because, man, I'm hoping I get a first round, second round, third round pick. I'm doing this for the second contract. I'm doing this and all, but there comes a moment where all of a sudden when you have space to reflect, or you have space to research, or you have space to see like a Sedona Prince like picture of a weight room. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa. I felt this, it felt off, but now I can see it. And then the pieces start coming together. The puzzle pieces, and you probably go, I remember that booster conversation, or I remember this conversation with the athletic department, or I remember this conversation. And I don't know, it's wild. Like I went to Cal State Fullerton, I walked on the basketball team. Our baseball team is really, really good. You know, Kevin Costner was our big booster. You know, most of our guys like who played at Cal State Fullerton go to at least the minors, and many of them to the major leagues. We were a baseball school. So the basketball program was secondary to the baseball program. And we all knew that, like our gym, our weight room, we were, our clothing gear was Converse, which is just terrible. But like the baseball team was Nike. So like and sometimes the guys would be like, oh dude, take this Nike sweatshirt, which I always love, but you know, it was Titan baseball, not Titan basketball. And so you had this kind of secondary feeling. See, I saw that the baseball team had so much better dorms, so much better weight room. So everything was better. Their locker room was so much better. And that was when I saw that picture, I was like, man, we were the second biggest program at Cal State Fullerton. But there was a massive discrepancy between us and baseball, and between probably the third biggest sport and us as basketball, there was even a wilder and wider discrepancy from like soccer or softball or track and field or gymnastics. And so it's interesting for me. I just keep going, what do we do when we realize it's not fair? Because it's not always going to be fair. I mean, you each have more than two kids, like, and there's moments where probably one of your kids comes up and goes, why did they get two scoops of ice cream and me just get one? That's not fair. Why? That's not fair. And what do you do when you can see that it's not fair as a parent? What do you do when you see it's not fair as a human or as a man or as a Christ follower? What do you do with that tension when it's not fair? How do you guys do it as parents?
Go ahead, Sam. I want to hear what you do, Sam.
Well, I think the first thing that comes to my mind, Steve, as I was listening to you, is giving ourselves space to believe. It's giving ourselves space to believe. You talked about, okay, when you, that doesn't feel right. And you see something that doesn't feel right or doesn't look right, but I never gave myself space to believe. So even in college, when the fight song, it was like, and there were some guys who were saying, hey, you know, this song has racist roots, right? You know, this song means this, you know, when they talk about the 40 acres, you know what that really means? And I'm like, guys, come on. It can't be right. Even if it was at that point, I didn't even let my mind get to a place where, okay, this can't even be true. Right. Cause like you said, you got agents, you got this, you got that, you got goals. And even in the combine, same thing. It's like, okay, I know this doesn't feel right, but okay, am I going to be the one to say, hey guys, you know, this is really jacked up. Right. But then as you grow, you see, okay, I need to give myself space to believe. And so, and that comes with, like, I even think about just when it comes to, like, you talk about, Steve, often, like, believing women. It's like, sometimes no one wants to give, we don't give ourselves space to believe. And so, anyways, like, what do you do when something's not fair? I think it's really hard, and I'm still trying to figure it out, if I'm being totally honest, right? Same things happen with my kids all the time, right? Because my son's super sensitive and all the things. So, like, I try to make sure to encourage him and say, hey, man, I'm so proud of you. I love you. And my daughter's like a warrior. She's like, go, go, go. And but recently, like last night, you know, we're getting ready to go to sleep, and I told my son, I was like, I'm so proud of you, or something like, I'm proud of you. And we're kind of lying down to go to sleep, and I noticed my daughter was kind of quiet. Sophia, she was being quiet, and her eyes started to tear up. And I'm like, what happened, Sophia? And she said, well, you told Caleb you were proud of him, but you didn't say you were proud of me. And I was like, first I was heartbroken. I was also confused. Heartbroken because I was like, man, like, you know, I love you. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm proud of you. But then it hurts you that you didn't even say it. Then secondly, confused. So I'm like, okay, you're the tough one in my mind. Like, you're like the war. You don't need to hear it. So like, do I got it? Every time I say it to one, I say it to the other. Like, that was, but then the last piece I went to was like, it was like relieved, or maybe I relieved because I was like, made sense or revealed, like, oh wow. Like, I need to love, even if I feel like you need it or not, I need to love and encourage and build you up. Whether I feel like you need it or not, right? The swag bags with the NCAA women, right? Like, Sedona showed the swag bags as well. Like, it was, they got nothing. And the men were getting this phenomenal gear. Like, hey, like, no, like, we appreciate you, right? So, like, let's get the swag up to par. And then don't lie about it, too, right? Like, that's something that got me out of the NCAA. Mark Emmert and whoever the guys were, maybe it wasn't Mark Emmert, but the NCAA, they said, well, it was a matter of space. There wasn't a lot of space, so that's why you didn't have the weights. It's like, no, dude, like, you're not about to just wrong us and lie on us. There's a cornucopia of space. There's an overabundance of space. There's ample space there. So don't hit me with the whole space thing. Just apologize. And so I think what you do when something's not fair, I think one step is to apologize. Say, I'm sorry. And then follow up and make it right.
That's good. What about you, Trey?
Well, in what sense are we talking about not fair? Because if we're talking about, like, ice cream and getting another scoop of not fair, that's a different story than, like, you know, real life, like, racism or injustice, not fair. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, when you as a parent are starting to see, or your kids are starting to see, that the world isn't fair, how do you pastor or parent them, father them through that reality? When they're calling out, crying out, you know, whether it's, you know, Sophie doing that with, like, hey, you didn't tell me, Dad, that you're proud of me. Like, that's not fair. Like, that's what she's saying, you know, in a beautiful, human, honest way. How do you make sense of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think my kids and I talk often about, you know, IJM and a lot of stuff that's going on, you know, with kids around the world and being forced to do things, you know, and like, why are we in the position we're in and they're in the position they're in? And like, obviously, you know, looking at that, like side by side, that's not fair, you know, for what the stuff they're going through. And I think when we talk about those things, so there's a different, like I was saying earlier, a different level of unfairness, you know? And so when you talk about those things, you know, all I can really tell my children is that, like, listen, we need to do as much as we can to raise awareness, to help, to get these kids out of the situation that they're in. And so, like, we're going to use what we have to do that, and try to figure out a way to level the fairness out to, I mean, for lack of a better, you know, term, like how can we help them to make them live a free life, you know, of like what we're living over here in America. I think, you know, when we talk about the, like, the petty fairness in the sense of like, oh, he's getting more ice cream than I'm getting, like, you know, I kind of, we talk about like what did, so if my daughter, oldest daughter, you know, might have got a great grade in school, you know, and we're at a ice cream spot and my other kids are with us, you know, they're gonna get ice cream as well, but my daughter's gonna get, you know, two more scoops because she had a better grade. Like, that's, I mean, in a sense, I would think that's a little bit more fair than, you know, not getting a great grade. Like, you're just riding along the coattails, you know, of my daughter, who got the great grade. So I think, you know, that's a little different, you know. I think more in that sense, you gotta say, like, listen, be thankful for what you have, you know, like, be thankful that you're with us, you know, with Ariella, and be happy for Ariella, you know, for getting her, you know, great grade in her class. Like, yeah, she's gonna get an extra two scoops of ice cream. So I just think there's different levels of it, you know, but I think, you know, we need to figure out a way to even out and level the fairness playing ground. Obviously, it's never going to be completely flat and completely level. And obviously, we all live in different areas and in different places and things like that. But as much as we can even it out or level it out, I think that's what we, you know, are called to do.
Steve, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I love how both of you just kind of name that, you know, giving yourself space to believe. And like the way that you talked about that, Sam, I think that's beautiful. And then also just, you know, Trey, I think you helping your kids recognize what is actually unfair, you know, and what is not unfair, but you just actually comparing what you have to somebody else, you know, and then what's based on reward, what's just not fair. So one of the things we talk about, you know, I always will tell my kids, cause they're like, I don't want to go to school. And, you know, my son does great in school, but I'm like, it's a necessary evil. you gotta go. Cause it sets the table for you to go to college and it sets the table for other opportunities, blah, blah, blah. But there are moments when you have to, you're going to see something that's unfair. And if it's unfair and it literally holds somebody back from the chance of kind of experiencing what our U.S. Constitution says or what the scriptures say, man, then we talk about it from what we call in our house is Spider-Man theology, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. So you have a power. So now how are you being responsible with that power for what is unfair to be made fair or what is not right to be made right? So total in that IJM, you know, kind of example, that's not right. So how do we use what we have to either amplify or begin to make change? Whether that happens in a junior high classroom or lunchroom, or whether that happens in Ghana, you know, that IJM's rescuing kids who are unable to go to school that are on fishing boats, you know, so that's one piece. But then the second piece is then getting really, really honest. And this is that what I really love, Acho, what you're saying, that space to believe or that space to feel, you know, you're going to have moments that just feel unfair. Why does this person get all the attention? Why does this person seem like they get all the encouragement? Why does it feel easier? You can't just stuff that feeling. So you got to be able to talk about that in healthy ways, and you got to know who you can talk to. And so we constantly say, you got to find guides. You got to find mentors. You know, every great character in a movie had a guide, you know, that they could go to and process with. And hopefully they trust us, meaning my kids, to trust us that we will be great guides for them to say, hey, I know what that feeling's like. I had that when I was in seventh grade, or I know what that's like when I'm working my tail off, but I'm getting a B. ah, man, that's okay. I know what that's like. That's not fair. It's easier for them. But you know, it also is easier for you. Fortnite, you crush that kid. You know what I mean? So it, like, we try to normalize and talk about it, but I think that real, sometimes when we compare, just out of personal, not that we almost make it seem like unjust, but it's not really unjust. It's just unfair. And then sometimes we stuff what is unjust and not right when that needs to be brought to the light. And that's what I think Sedona Prince did. I think that's what the work that you guys have done with, you know, your podcast, Sam, Athletes for Justice, or, you know, Trey, what you and your family are doing with IJM. Like, I think that's a beautiful, beautiful example of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, okay. Maybe we should just kind of end this. That got pretty heavy. I was like, I was like, man, that got really good. Hey, real quick, who do you think there's going to be any upsets? Yeah. Any more upsets?
Yeah. Like Creighton's beating Gonzaga, and
like wholeheartedly believe that. Like, hold on, you have to put something on the wager, or else you're gonna have Sam just say reckless stuff like that. Like
it's
like
not Creighton reckless. Beating. It's not. You talk about Steve. You talk about guides, right? Like Trey is my. So my next bracket, like I'm gonna do like trade in, just pick the number one team for everything, and then create like four different brackets, and then be like, oh yeah, this is the one that I'm gonna shoot. Oh, so like goodness. He's gonna be my guide. But yeah,
you live and you learn. I remember doing my first bracket.
I think.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. All right, so
my goodness.
Any more upsets? I mean, man, my upsets are out. Tennessee, I thought they were going to do well. They got spanked in the first round. Oregon State, West Virginia, I thought they were a really good team. I mean, they got absolutely annihilated by Syracuse. So, I mean, I'm kind of out of upset. I mean, I had Iona going far. They're out. So I wish I would have had like Loyola. I actually think Loyola might win the whole thing. They are a phenomenal basketball team. And I think also that Illinois got the short end of the stick because everybody else knew how good Iona was. I mean, Loyola was, and they had to play Iona or Loyola. Gosh, I get so confused with both of them in the second round. That was not fair for them.
Okay, so Sam, real quick, because you've got Creighton upsetting Gonzaga.
Yeah.
And I saw that in your bracket. Okay, so USC, Oregon, that's a 6-7. FSU, Michigan. There's a lot of people who think FSU is going to go far. You think FSU? No.
I thought LSU was the best matchup for Michigan, honestly. Because and I think they had to play Alabama, who's another super athletic team, you know, in the, what is that, Elite Eight?
Yeah. So you think UCLA, no chance with Alabama?
No shot.
I like Alabama.
Okay, Alabama. I do too. Alabama scares me. Baylor, Villanova?
No.
Baylor's, I like Baylor.
Baylor. Okay.
Yeah.
Is the expect a miracle from Oral Roberts? Is that done once it meets the Razorbacks?
They're bad. Loyal. Okay. I mean, Oral Roberts is bad. Arkansas is good.
Arkansas. All right. I agree with you. Loyola is strong. It's 8-12, which is crazy because Loyola could have a nice run because they can go, if Syracuse and Buddy Buckets, you know, Jim Boeheim's son, Buddy, keeps balling out because he's putting up Carmelo numbers from Syracuse. I mean, it's insane.
He's shooting it lights out right now. He's unbelievable. Lights fun to watch. Out.
It's very fun. So again, if Syracuse upsets Houston, then you could literally have an 8 or a 12 seed versus an 11 in the Elite Eight for the Final Four, which is amazing. So I'm with you. I think Loyola Chicago, Porter Mosey is an amazing, amazing coach. Everyone's sleeping on Oregon State, but do you think Syracuse has a chance against Houston?
I'm rocking with Houston.
Yeah.
You know what's actually interesting about this tournament, though, because of the lack of games by some teams. I was looking at like Oregon, Iowa yesterday or 2 days ago. Bro, Oregon was way night head and shoulders above from an athletic standpoint, Iowa. And like they said, I guess the program got shut down for a little bit and they weren't able to play a lot of games. So you see a lot of teams like that who are a lower seed that is just they're kind of hitting their stride. Right now, yeah. Like, bro, I wouldn't want to play Oregon right now. I don't care who you are, bro. You could be Gonzaga, and I would not want to even come close to playing Oregon, bro, because they look so athletic, and they're kind of like Oregon State, you know, to a degree. And I think Syracuse as well. Like, bro, they had a rough season. They kind of squeaked into the tournament, but they're kind of hitting their stride. And really, I mean, you know how it is, bro, in basketball. That's all that really matters is hitting your stride, you know, at the most important time.
That's so good. And again, the fresh legs, you know, when you need it most, which is, I mean – Well, you know what it's like when you come to the end of the year and your body's just taking some hits, you know, Michigan had a like 14 day break. A number of these Big Ten teams did. And but thanks so much for not bringing up the Big Ten. I just did. I opened myself up right there. I thought
14 day break. That 14 day break didn't do so good for a lot of those teams.
We got a 6 month break now for most of the Big Ten. So
how many did y'all have the most teams in the tournament?
The most teams.
Your conference. How many teams was it? Seven.
No, I think it was more than that. Yeah. I think it was like, it might have been eight, seven or eight.
How many are left?
Michigan. Someone's got to do it, man. Someone's got to do it. So
you're right.
Well, hey, thanks so much, guys. Again, hey, thanks so much for tuning into the Home Team Podcast. This is a podcast that talks about the intersection of faith, sports, culture, and even family. And today we talked about a number of topics. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, but I'd love to really hear from you. What do you do when something's not fair? When you what happens when you see something that's not okay? Not okay from a human rights standpoint. What does that cause you to think or do? Or what do you see when it's just not okay, not fair, not right, when it's probably more of a, man, two scoops of ice cream, one scoop of ice cream? What do you do? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll be back next week. And we'll see how Trey, if he's still rocking number two, or if Sam and his 1 point of possible greatness has overcome and caught up to the legend Trey Burton. I'm staying steady in the middle, just because that's where the wise people do. You don't put yourself in the front. Nobody talks about you. Don't put yourself in the back. People don't mock you. You just got to stay steady like a good Lincoln. Thanks so much, Lincoln, for sponsoring this podcast. With that, everyone, we love you. Have a great week. See you next week. Thanks so much.